Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Performance of the Vrindavan Pastimes, a small story about Ramananda Vasu and the silk ropes. This pastime takes place in Jagannath Puri in the summertime in July, when Jagannath Swami comes out from the temple and rides on his Rath Yatra cart. At that time, he is carried from the temple out to the cart, and he's carried with some silk ropes. They put some ropes underneath his arms, Jagannath's arms, and the pandas on each side of Jagannath, they pick him up by holding onto these ropes, and then they move him from one place to another. 500 years ago, he would be carried from one pillow to another pillow. They were called tulis. And Jagannath Deity is very heavy. Jagannath is about 7 feet tall and about 6 feet wide, 2 meters wide. It's quite wide, very large figure. And when they would carry him and set him on these pillows which were placed on the ground, something like stepping stones, here we have these stepping stones going across the yard, these pink stones. So there were these tulis, these cotton pads, and they would carry Jagannath. He was very, very heavy. They would lift him up and then carry him for a few feet and then set him down on one pillow or pad. And when Jagannath hit the pillow, he was so heavy, he would explode the pillow and make a cracking sound, and like a firecracker. Then all these cotton feathers or like hairs, pieces of cotton would fly in the air and make a big cracking sound, like when children, they blow up a balloon and then they go top. Or sometimes you take a plastic bag and it has air in it. You get some plastic bag and it has air in it when you sport around. Usually men do these kind of things, but ladies don't do so much. But then they get a plastic bag, then they go top, and it goes pow. So it's kind of fun. So Jagannath has fun that way, blowing up these plastic bags. I mean, these pillows. But now, that was 500 years ago, but now when you go there, they've modified it. What they do is they give Jagannath a big sock. On the bottom of the deity, they wrap a bunch of red cotton. So it looks like his feet, or it looks like you put socks on your feet. So the Jagannath deity stops here, and the bottom 6 inches or 8 inches from the bottom of the murti is all this cotton wrapped around. So they simply set him on that. But during this festival, Jagannath Tera Puna Pandu Vijaya Haila Ekaguti Patadhori Tanha Tuti Gela. This is the same as Hindi, they say, Tutgaya. I think Tutgaya means it's broken. Is that right? Tutgaya. Tutgaya means, Gaya means it went, and Tut means busted, right? Tutgaya. We hear that word a lot from our Chokidar. Things are always breaking around here. Things are breaking, the pump's breaking, this is breaking. It's, oh, Tutgaya, Tutgaya. So I hear that word a lot. So it's the same in Sanskrit or Bengali, tuti, tuti gela. So this means, during this festival, when Jagannath was being carried from one pillow to another, a bunch of the silken ropes broke. This festival is called Panduvijay. Panduvijayera tuli, fati futi, fata futi jai. Jagannathera bhare tula udayap, udayap palai. When the Jagannath deity is carried, at intervals he is placed on cotton pads. When the ropes broke, the cotton pads also broke due to the weight of Lord Jagannath, and the cotton floated into the air. Kulina Grami Ramananda Satya Rajakan Tanraya Gyadila Prabhu Kariya Saman. There were two devotees that year visiting Puri that had come from West Bengal, a village named Kulinagram. The names of the devotees were Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan. With great respect, they gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them the following orders. E patta dhori ratumi hao jajaman prativatsara anive dhori koriya nirman. Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan to become the worshippers of these ropes and every year bring silken ropes from their village. So apparently, this, as you know, in Bengal, they're very famous for hand loom. There are many, many hand looms all over Bengal where the people, they make these saris, Bengali saris, and they produce lots of jute. They grow lots of jute there, jute and cotton and silk. And they make very, they're famous. Bengal was famous for making saris and different cloth. So apparently these ropes were made somewhere near Kalinagram. So Mahaprabhu told them they should bring good ropes. Eta bali dila tanre chinda patadori iha deki kari bedori ati drida kari. After telling them this, Mahaprabhu showed them the broken silken ropes and said, just look at this sample. You must make ropes that are much stronger. E patadori tehai shesha adishtan dasha murti hanajeno seva bhagavan. Mahaprabhu informed Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan that this rope was the abode of Lord Shesha, who expands himself into 10 forms and serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is very significant. That generally we worship the Lord, we think that it's very important to worship the Lord, and of course that's the duty of all human beings, to worship Krishna. But when Lord Shiva was instructing his wife Parvati, in the fourth canto, he told Parvati, Radhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Radhanam, he says, Tatam, he says that of all the worship, Vishnu worship is the most important. And then he said, Tadiyanam Samarchanam. But more important than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of objects or persons related to Vishnu. Tadiyanam. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Samarchanam. They are equally as worshipful. Generally, we think that the person is very important, but the objects related to the person are not so important. Like you may take care of the owner of the car or the master, but he don't take so much care of his car, his automobile. But Vishnu, in Vishnu Puja, the Lord is worshipable, and also objects related to him are also important and worshipable. So here, Jagannath Swami, he is the object of worship. He is a Savior Bhagavan and Sevaka Bhagavan. Savior Bhagavan is Bhagavan, the object of Seva. And Sevaka is that person who does Seva, who renders service to Bhagavan. So the Sevaka Bhagavan is the devotee, and the Savior Bhagavan is God, or the Lord. So that's clear, it's obvious. The Lord and his worshipper, the devotee and Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya is telling here that you should understand, this is not an ordinary thing. This is not an ordinary piece of rope, like we tie a rope to a bucket or a balti, and we throw it in a well, and we pick up water. Or we tie something with a rubber band. We say, oh, it's only a rubber band. This is a rubber band tying this tape recorder. It's not important. But it's important. If that rope is used to carry Jagannath, or anything that's used to carry Jagannath, that's called Sandini Shakti. It's related to the existence or the activities of the Lord. So who is that? That's a person. Because in relation to Krishna, Krishna is only served by persons. So even the objects have personality. Because in the ultimate issue, everything is consciousness. Of course, this can get somewhat technical. But there's a whole book that Prabhupada's godbrother, they published called Subjective Evolution, which describes how everything is Krishna's energy, even the external energy. And everything is, Krishna is everywhere. He's here in the external energy, also the internal energy. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to impress upon them, these ropes that are used to carry Lord Jagannath, they broke. And this means that you're not taking it seriously, or you didn't make proper ropes. And then he's tried to impress by saying, this is Shesha Adishtan. That Adishtan, like Stan, means that Shesha, Balaram, Krishna's expansion, he is these ropes. The ropes that are used in Krishna's service, the singhasan, the Brahman thread, the shoes, the clothing, everything is an expansion of the Lord. Just like they say, the temple of the Lord is also expansion of the Lord. The shikara is the dome of the temple. That's considered to be the crown of Balaram. Because Balaram is Sandini, or existence potency. So he expands his form in different shapes and ways in order to serve the existence or serve the pastimes of the Lord. Just like we're sitting, are we sitting on land? If this was material world, if this was Moscow, or Leningrad, or Delhi, or Bombay, or any place, and then we would say, oh, this is land. This is the land of India or Russia. But here, this very land we're sitting on is personal. It is consciousness. This is Balaram. Balaram expands as the holy Dham. The Dham is also the Adishtan, Shesha Adishtan, the place of Shesha. Ananta Shesha is Balaram. So here's an example of this, which is closer to home. In Braj Leela, about this time of the year, 5,000 years ago on Diwali, Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna her milk, her breast milk. He was hungry. And here she has the Supreme Lord in her lap. That person whom yogis and Vaishnavas, they do intense meditation and austerity just to catch a glimpse of the lotus feet or a ray of light from the lotus toenails of Krishna. They do meditation for thousands of years just to see a toenail or the bottom of the feet in their meditation, in their lila, in their dhyan spurti, in the vision of meditation. They're trying so hard, so much austerity. And Mother Yashoda, she has the complete body in her lap. She's holding baby Krishna in her lap, Yashoda Nandan. And she's feeding her breast to him. And he's finding great happiness, and he's relishing her breast milk. But then the milk is boiling on the stove. And she's thinking, oh, this milk is for Krishna. He will eat this later. So she puts Krishna down and runs to tend to that milk. So sometimes people say, how is it? This is offensive. She's serving Krishna milk and he's hungry and she just leaves him. But she's thinking, oh, this milk is also Krishna. Tadiyanam samarchanam. This is samarchan. This is equally as worshipful as Krishna. And it's tadiya. It's connected to him. It's also transcendental. As I must worship and maintain my baby, I must also maintain this milk. Because I set him down for 5 minutes and keep that milk from boiling, then again I can give him my breast milk. But that milk on the stove, I'm going to make burfi and rasgulla and rubri and kheer and so many nice things from that milk. And if that milk gets spoiled, then Krishna won't be able to enjoy all these things. So this milk is also very important. So Jiva Goswami explains in his purport in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam about this Damodar Bandana, this lila where Mother Yashoda ultimately tied up Krishna in the Kartik Amavasya, which we call Diwali. This illustrates this principle of Tadiyanam Samarchanam. The objects related to Krishna are just as important as Krishna himself. When Prabhupada once visited a temple in America, when he entered the temple, the gate to the temple was broken. The front gate, the darwaza, the front door. It was like on one hinge. It was like hanging like this. It wasn't properly the entrance boundary gate. And devotees didn't pay much attention to it. This guy always comes and shows off. And usually he sits upside down and gives class. He's trying to challenge me. He says, listen, I can stand on my head and give Bhagavatam class. Can you do that? You're sitting there. And you need this big amplifier. I don't need this big amplifier. He's louder than we are. Wait till he stands upside down, that's even better. So, you say, no, you don't know what you're saying. It really, it's like this. Krishna was really not very happy with Yashoda. But the Jiva Goswami is saying that this is very important, that the gate of the temple, you can't say, well, we have such nice puja inside the temple, fresh flowers, and we're making 7 offerings a day, and they're always very clean, and everything is on time, and we offer a new outfit every day, but the front gate is broken. So Prabhupada, when he stopped there and said, what is this? And then devotees weren't sure what he meant, and they said, Prabhupada, this is the gate. This is the gate of the temple. And he said, yes, why is it broken? He said, this is your idea of Krishna consciousness? Because we thought that Krishna consciousness meant the guy inside the temple. The deity, it doesn't mean his gate. So these are inseparable. It's not that you can trash out the temple sankirtan vehicle and leave all junk inside and bash it all up, but then you do very nice puja every morning to the deity. So everything is important. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making this point here. He was saying he informed them, don't you know? E pata dhorite hai shesha arishtan dasha murti hana jaino seva bhagavan. That this Balaram, he's a servant of the Lord, and he takes great bliss to serve the Lord in unlimited ways. That's why he's called Ananta. Ananta means there is no end to his service. And it says Dasha Murti, that he assumes, Balaram assumes 10 different forms or 10 different presentations to serve the Lord. And they're all absolute, they're all transcendental, and they're all pleasing to the Lord. Balaram is also Krishna's friend, an elder brother. He serves him in Sakya Ras as his friend, and also a combination of Vatsalya Ras. He protects him like a father and looks after him, makes sure that he eats and drinks every day properly. So he has this very intimate relationship. So that's obvious that Balaram is serving his brother. But when he takes the form of Krishna's walking stick, or Krishna's cowherding stick, then it may not be so obvious how he's serving the Lord or how important that is. So these devotees are supposed to expand their consciousness in this way, to try to see consciousness in everything related to Krishna, or see Krishna in everything. So Mahaprabhu is pointing this out, that Balaram expands into 10 forms to serve the Lord. So we should care, the conclusion is that we should be very careful in dealing with the property of the Lord. We should be very careful in maintaining and using all the items and objects that are for the Lord's pleasure. In the Bible, Jesus, he said, whatever you do to the least of my creation, that you do unto me. So this means that if you may have regard for God, maybe a pious Christian or Hindu, but then you see a mosquito and you go like this. Sometimes people do like that. I've seen children in Delhi. You're sitting in their house and they have temple worship. They have a deity. The parents are initiated. They have Mangalartik, everything. And some mosquito flies in the room and the son goes, looks through the mosquito and goes, and that means Haribo for the mosquito. Katam Hogya. Karab. He's finished. So this is not very good. Whatever you do to the least of my creation, that you do unto me. So the mosquito is important, and the devotee is important, and the Lord is important, because Krishna is also in his heart. The proper vision is that everything belongs to Krishna and should be used in his service. And everyone is a devotee of the Lord. Some are conscious of it and some are unconscious. Everyone is bhakta. Bhakta dog, Bhakta Sunil, Bhakta Ruski, or whatever, I don't know, whatever Russian names are. What are some Russian names? Bhakta, poet, man's name? Bhakta?
Koyla.
Koyla?
Koyla.
Koyla? Koyla? No. Bhakta Koya, Bhakta this, that. You know, Bhakta Joe. You're from America. Bhakta Joe. So this is the attitude of the devotee. He thinks that we're all parts and parcels of the Lord. Mavevamsho jivalak loke jivabhuta sanatana. And so we regard all life, and we try to see the thread of union. We try to string a thread of connection. We connect everything to Krishna. And this way we can properly move in this world in the proper consciousness. Bhagyavana Satyaraja Vasuramananda Seva Gyapana Haila Paramananda. After receiving these orders from the Lord for rendering of service, the fortunate Satyaraj and Ramananda Vasu were highly pleased. Prativatsara Gundichate Bhaktagana Sange Patadori Lanaise Ati Bharavange. Every year thereafter, when the Gundicha temple was being cleansed, Satyaraj and Ramananda would come to Jagannath Puri with the other devotees and with great pleasure bring silken rope. Tabe Jagannatha Jai Vasila Simhasan Mahaprabhu Gari Aila Lana Bhaktagan. Thus Jagannath returned to his temple and sat on his throne, while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with his devotees. He Mata Bhaktagane Jatra Dekaila Bhaktagana Lana Vrinda Vana Kele Koila. Thus Mahaprabhu showed the Rathyatra ceremony to his devotees and performed the Vrindavan pastimes with them. Vrindavan pastimes means bringing Jagannath from Dwarka or from the temple. The main temple, the Jagannath temple in Puri, represents Dwarka or Kurukshetra. And his riding on the chariot from the temple down the grand road to the gardens of Gundicha, that represents the gopis bringing Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. That's why it's called the Vrindavan pastimes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his intimate associates were in the mood of Radharani and the gopis bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So this is a story of Ramananda Vasu and his silk ropes. Now, next story is Jagannath Mishra marvels at Nimai's footprints. This is from Adi Leela, chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 14. Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. Bali Lilayage Prabhura Utana Shayan Pitamataya Dekaila Chinacharan. In Nimai's childhood pastimes, the Lord turned upside down while lying on his bed, and thus he showed his parents the marks on his lotus feet. Well, if anyone's been a mother or had a younger sister or brother, then they've seen this pastime. Of course, we also had it, but we maybe forgot it. Lying on the back and kicking the legs up. It's very sweet posture, very innocent. So this is the scene. Because now, a few seconds ago, we were with Lord Chaitanya and Puri instructing Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraj Khan to bring pakka ropes. And now we've gone back a little bit, a flashback in time, about 30 years, to the babyhood of Nimai, the Bali Leela. Now he's not 7 feet tall now. He's not 7 feet tall, and he's not a sannyasi. He's a cute little baby. Maybe he's 1 foot long, 12 inches long, maybe 14 inches or something. Golden color, looking like the Gaurachand, like the full moon, Mayapur Chandra. He's lying on his back, and his legs are a little chubby. He doesn't look like he has any bones. Just looks like he's made out of butter. Pudgy little waist and pudgy little arms. Fat little face. Like babies look, you know. And he's kicking his legs up. The Lord would try to catch the wall and stand up. But as an ordinary child falls down, the Lord also fell down and again took to lying on his bed. So he's lying in his bed, and then he would reach over and try to stand up and start wobbling. And then again, crash back on his back, lie back on his back. Oh, and then kick his legs. Grihe dui janadeki lagupadachina tahe shobe dhwaja badra shanka chakranamina. When the Lord tried to walk in his small footprints, the specific marks of Lord Vishnu were visible, namely the flag, thunderbolt, conch shell, disc, and fish. Actually, in total, Lord Krishna is called Charan Chinna. The marks on his feet, he has 18 marks on his feet. He has 11 marks on the bottom of his right foot and 8 marks on the bottom of his left foot, which makes 19 marks. Like Astakone and Jambu fruits and swastik and thunderbolt and conch shell and concentric circles and unstrung bow and footprints of a calf and a triangle and water pots and a fish and a half moon. Many, many symbols are there. Now that's Krishna. But when Krishna comes into this world as Mahaprabhu, when Radha and Krishna combine as one, Radharani has, interestingly enough, she also has 18 marks, or rather 19 marks on the bottom of her feet, and Krishna has 19 marks on the bottom of his. And many of the marks are the same on both of their feet. But when they combine as Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, then on the bottom of Nimai's feet, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, there are about 36 marks. So he has all the marks, practically he has all the marks of Radharani and all the markings of Krishna, which makes sense, since he's both of them. But he doesn't have 4 feet. He only has 2 feet. So 2 feet of Radha and 2 feet of Krishna. But all the marks are taken from 4 feet and put onto 2 feet, if you can follow. So there's about 36 marks. So here only a few are being mentioned by Krishna's Kaviraj. The thunderbolt and the conch shell and the fish and the mina. Keshavadrita mina sharire jaya jagadisha hare. Mina represents the fish. So someone might say, well, why is Krishna have a fish on the bottom of his feet? Is he like follower of Jesus? He was a fisherman. All of Jesus Christ, his followers, they were all fishwallas, or whatever, muchliwallas. They were fishermen. I said, listen, boys, lay down your nets, and follow me. Chant Hare Krishna. Something like that. So here, Krishna has a fish on the bottom of his feet. And then Radharani has a fish on the bottom of her feet. You think, what is this? I thought they were vegetarians. Why do they have fish? Because this mina, this fish, it represents the chanchal nature of Krishna. You never see a fish staying in one place for more than 1/1000th of a second. They're here and there and here and there and everywhere, always moving. So there's one name for Radharani. She's known as Meenakshi. Of course, Durga is also called Meenakshi, but the original Adi Meenakshi is Radharani. Meenakshi. Meenak. Ak means eye. That our eyes are like fish. They're always moving this way, that way. They're always looking to the right, to the left. Where is Krishna? Is Krishna on top of the palace? Is he in the watchtower at Pavan Sarovara? Is he in the groves or kunjas on the side of the footpath? Is he under the water in Yamuna? Is he in Manasi Ganga? Where is he? So her eyes are always moving. So one of Radharani's names is Meenakshi. So this has internal meaning. And it's also told that if the devotee fixes his mind in meditation upon the feet of Radha and Krishna, or Mahaprabhu, then the fish-like nature of his mind, sometimes they say that, they describe in English, they say his behavior is rather fishy. He's rather fishy, means we don't know if he's very straightforward. He's rather fishy. Fishy means he's a little slippery. Because if you ever try to hold a fish, maybe you don't know English, I don't know. You ever try to catch a fish or hold on to a fish? Is it slippery? You go like this, whoop, it slips out of your hand. So if you say somebody's fishy, that means they're very slippery. You can't pin them down. You try to pin them down to one viewpoint or one idea, and then whoop, they slip off into some other. They're changeable. They're not trustworthy. They're like, it's not a good characteristic to be fishy. So this represents when a devotee fixes his mind on the marks on Krishna's feet, that fish, then his tendency to be fishy, gets removed. And the chanchal nature of his own mind, he says, oh yeah, sometimes Krishna, sometimes cricket, sometimes Krishna, sometimes Krishna music, sometimes sitar music, sometimes bhajan, sometimes bhojan. Bhog and Tyag, Krishna and Maya. Yes, actually, I'm courting two relationships. I have one relationship with Radharani and Yoga Maya, and I have another relationship with Mahamaya. Sometimes I'm on this side of the stream, and sometimes I'm on that side of the stream. A fish, sometimes he swims on this side of the river, and sometimes on that river side. So sometimes we're on the antaranga side of the Shakti, and sometimes we're on the bahiranga side of the Shakti. The Shakti is only one. Krishna's energy is only one. But depending on our viewpoint, then we see it differently. It's all Krishna Shakti. But when we're favorable to Krishna, then it's antaranga. And when we're unfavorable, the energy becomes bahiranga. Alright? So this is the fish mark. So when the Lord tried to walk, I said that. Dekhiya donhara chitte janmila vismai karapada chinagari napaya nishchai. Seeing all these marks on the bottom of Nimai's feet, neither Jagannath Mishra, his father, or Shachimata, his mother, could understand whose footprints they were. Thus struck with wonder, they could not understand how those marks could be possible in their home. Mishra kahi bala gopal acheshila sange tenho murti hanagare kele jani range. Jagannath Mishra postulated, certainly child Krishna is with the Shalagram Shila. Taking his childhood form, he is playing in the room. Because in this Nara Leela of Krishna or Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, no associate ever thinks that Chaitanya or Krishna is God, that he is the absolute truth. They only think he's my son, he's my friend, he's my student, he's my teacher, he's my classmate, he lives in the same, he's my village mate, he lives in Mayapur with me in Navadvip. No one ever thinks, yes, he's my friend, but he's also God. He's my son, but he's also God, Bhagavan. They never ever think that. So when they see these marks, they think, how is this possible? And Jagannath looks at the bottom of his feet. This is my feet are just feet. Some lines, and he looks at his wife's feet, and your feet are like this. And so his feet must be the same. What are these strange marks on the floor? Because sometimes her son, he breaks some yogurt here and there, breaks a yogurt pot in his mischief, and then he steps in that yogurt and runs here and there, stepping on the floor, so then he leaves these marks. So then he's saying, I think, because this Shalagram Shila is Sakshat Krishna. It can be any form of the Lord. And Jagannath Mishra is thinking, I think our family deity of Shalagram is taking his Balak Gopal form and walking around our house. It must be that. And he's playing in the room. Seishane Jagi Nimai Kariye Krandan Anke Lana Shachi Tanre Piyaila Stan. When Mother Shachi and Jagannath Mishra were talking, child Nimai woke up and began to cry. And Mother Shachi took him on her lap and allowed him to suck her breast. Stana Piyaite Putrera Charana Dikya Dekilila Sechena Payedeki Mishri Bolaila. While Mother Shachi was feeding Nimai from her breast, she saw on his lotus feet all the marks that they had previously seen on the floor of the room. And she called for Jagannath Mishra. Dekiya Mishra Hoyla Anandita Mati Gupte Bolaila Nilam Bhara Chakravarti. When Jagannath Mishra saw the wonderful marks on the soul of his son, he became very joyful, and he privately called for Nilambara Chakravarti. Nilambara Chakravarti is one, he's a relative of theirs, I can't remember the connection, but he's friend of the father of Jagannath Mishra, I forget exactly, but he's an expert astrologer. Chinadeki Chakravarti Balena Hasiya Lagna Gani Purveyami Rakiyache Likiya. So he came, Nilambara Chakravarti. It's very nice, Nilambara. We say Pitambara, Nilambara. This Ambara means covering, and Nila means a blue covering. So it can mean Krishna, who is covered with blue, or it can mean Radharani, because this is the color of her sari. In the case of Shukadeva Goswami, he's known as Digambara, because, of course, he was blue in color, but his covering of his body was nothing, was the dig. The dig means the directions. He was covered by the northern direction, the southern, eastern, and western. It's called Digambara. Sometimes there's a group of tapasvis that wander around India. They're called Digambara sadhus. They're tantrics, actually. But this is Nilambara, so he's reminding everyone of Radharani's blue sari. So when Nilambara Chakravarti saw those marks on Nimai's feet, he smiled and said, formerly I ascertained all this by astrological calculation and noted it in writing. At the time of Nimai's birth, he did his Janma Kundali, his birth chart, and he predicted that this child is some type of great personality. So then he goes on to explain. I just want to tell that part of the story, because there's more story too about the marks. Of course we could read that. But the story we want to say is Jagannath Mishra marvels at Nimai's footprints, that he couldn't understand whose footprints these are. And this is an interesting behavior of what he did, is that he and his wife were amazed. He saw these footprints on the floor, and then he thought that these can't be my son because he's only an ordinary human being like me. And he thought, this must be my Shalagram, because Shalagram is Vishnu. And Vishnu has all these marks on the bottom of his feet. Of course, he has not all the marks of Lord Chaitanya. He has 19. But so Jagannath Mishra, he thought, this must be my Shalagram. And he has so many forms. So he must have taken the form of Balagopal. And he himself is running in my room. He's walking in my room, leaving these footprints. That's his idea. And then when his wife was feeding the child, and he's lying there and kicking, he's taking her breast in his mouth, and he's kicking his feet up in great jubilation to be drinking her milk. And she notices, oh, these are the same prints that my husband was talking about. But they're not, it's not the Shalagram deity, it's Nimai. And she called her son in great astonishment. She called her husband. Look. Then he looked and said, Oh, those footprints on the floor, they were not the shalagram, but they're actually Nimai's. Who is this Nimai? I can't understand. I thought he was just my son. How does he have these astounding marks of Bhagavan? So then he called for Nilambara. Then Nilambara went on to describe the marks of a great personality. And he said, I see the 32 indications or marks on the body of your son that indicate that your son is a great personality. That's pretty obvious. But this is what he's saying. He says, Sabalakshan, Mahaprabhu. He says, Mahapurush Bhushana. He has all the ornaments of a Mahapurush, a great personality. All of them, Sablakshana. And then he goes on to explain what they all are. And he says, your baby, Narayanara Chinad Yukta Srihasta Charan, a Shishu Sarvaloke Karibe Taran. He says, your Shishu, Shishu means child or baby. Like we have this, one of our friends in Loibazar has a shop. His name is Shishu Kumar Agarwal. His baby. Of course, he's not exactly a baby in his dealings, but he's quite grown up in his dealings and business. But he's called Shishu Kumar. He's a baby. He says, your Shishu, he has Sarvaloke Karibe Tarana. Your little Shishu, your little baby, he's going to deliver the three worlds. Can you imagine? Someone comes and tells you your son, you have a little baby, he can't even stand up. He's lying in the cradle, kicking his legs up. And when he tries to stand up, he holds his hand on the wall and attempts to stand up, and he wobbles on his little wobbly, chubby legs. He wobbles and he crashes again on his butt and lies back on his back to relax. And then someone comes and says, see this little boy? He is going to Sarvalokera Tarana. He's going to deliver the entire universe. And then the father of that child or Shishu says, really? This guy? How is it possible? And then, Eta Karibe Vaishnava Dharmera Prachar Iha Hoite Habe Dui Kulera Nistar. This child will preach the Vaishnav cult and deliver both his maternal and paternal families. So, and then he goes on to say, I propose that we perform a name-giving ceremony. We should observe a festival and call for the brahmanas because today is very auspicious. This is called Namkarana. It's one of the Dasavita samskaras in Vedic culture where at a certain point the name is given, not initially, immediately, but the formal name is given after calculating the chart and seeing the tendencies of the child. The actual basic subhav or nature of the child is calculated through the science of astrology, and then appropriate name is given. Sometimes people, they criticize, if they look at the Indian writings of Vyasadev, like Mahabharata or others, and they see these names like Duryodhan or Dushashan or these type of names, they think, what is this? This is some storybook? This is some novel that is like some novel that Vyasadeva is writing this novel or story, and he's ascribing, he has different archetypal characters, so he's simply giving them names because Duryodhan means bad fighter or something. Duryudya means that he doesn't fight properly. You know, he's like dirty fighter. So then he develops his story around these characters. He gives them a name and develops some story around them. Professors, they write like this and they criticize like this. But actually our acharyas explain that as is being told here, it is the Vedic system that the chart is done to analyze the basic characteristics and what will be the contribution, what will be the basic contribution of this child. What will he actually do for humanity or his, you can say, the overall presentation or contribution of this individual? And they give an appropriate name. So his name, he was given the name Duryodhana when he was lying on his back kicking up his legs in the cradle. It wasn't that he grew into it. But they gave that name, and then because they could see by his chart, they could see his future, that yes, he will be a dirty fighter. And he will be envious and not fair and not act in a behave in a proper way. So this will be his contribution. Or this will be his basic, you know, template which he will grow into. So then the name was given. So at this time, when they gave the name of Chaitanya, the baby, they gave him names like Vishwambar. Vishwambar means he will cover the whole universe, or he will nourish the entire universe by his teaching, by his presence, by his prabhav. He will nourish the whole universe, and more specifically, he will nourish the baby of devotion in the hearts of all pious people. The baby of devotion that is lying in the hearts of all pious people in India, or in the whole world, for that matter, the Vishwa, the universe or the world, they will become covered or nourished by the activities and contribution of this tiny little baby lying on his back, kicking up his legs. So it's a rather grandiose name to give a small little entity lying in the cradle. Vishwambar. He will maintain the universe. Of course, he is maintaining the universe in his various Purusha avatars. But maybe that wasn't known to the people of Mayapur. So this is a story of Jagannath Mishra marveling at Nimai's footprints. So we can also read, is there any comments or questions about this little story? There's another little story in the same chapter concerning Jagannath Mishra. It's called Jagannath Mishra's Dream. Egdin Mishra Putra Chapalya Dekiya Dharma Shikshadila Bahu Bartsana Kariya. Another occasion, Jagannath Mishra, seeing the mischievous acts of his son, gave him lessons in morality after rebuking him greatly. Because the father's duty is to train up the child. They have an expression in English: spare the rod, spoil the child. The rod means the rod of chastisement, the danda, the stick. Occasionally, children need to be punished. A slight slap, or in India, sometimes the father's usually a little more physical with the child, a few slaps or cracks. The mother usually just pulls the ear, the standard ear pulling program. Hey, listen, Shunya, aren't you hearing? The reason they pull the ear is because it means you're not listening. You're listening, but you're not attentive. I told you yesterday not to do that, and you did it. So listen, ow, ow, ow. It also hurts if you pull the ear. In fact, elephants are controlled that way. A huge animal, elephant, weighs 1,000 kilos or something, and they take a little hook called ankush, elephant goad, ankush, and they simply pull it behind the ear. They pull him by the ear, just like the mother pulls a child. Then the elephant, he behaves himself just by a little pressure behind the ear. So it seems that ears are good ways to control living entities. Pull the child by the ear, because sometimes they act like crazy elephants, the children. So Jagannath Mishra, he wanted to give Vishwambar some good lessons in morality. Ratri swapni deki eka ashi brahman Mishra kahaya kichu narosha vachan. On that very night, Jagannath Mishra's dreamt that a Brahmin came before him, speaking these words in great anger. Mishra tumi putra tattva kichuna jhana vatsana tadhana kara putra kari mana. My dear Mishra, you don't know anything about your son. You think him your son, and therefore you rebuke and chastise him. Mishra kahe deva siddha Muni kinenai, jese bhadahauk matra amaratanai. Jagannath Mishra replied, listen, this boy may be a demigod, deva, a mystic yogi, siddha, or a great personality, a great saintly person, muni. Kinenai, it doesn't matter what he is, for I think he is only my son, amaratanai. Amaratanai. Well, this is Vatsalya Bhav. This is Shuddha Vatsalya. And this pure Vatsalya of Nanda Bhava, Nishoda, and Jagannath Mishra and Shachi, there is no other thought. There's no even drop of Aishwarya or opulence or grandeur or any kind of idea that their son is something special, other than he's just our son and he needs to be corrected. Putraer lalana shiksha pitara swadharm amina shikale kaiche janive dharma marm. Jagannath Mishra goes on, it is a duty of the father to educate his son in both religion and morality. If I do not give him this education, how will he know of it? Viprakahai putra jari dhaivasidahai swatak siragyana tabe shikshavyartahai. The Brahmana said, if your son is a transcendental mystic boy, dhaivasiddha, with self-effulgent perfect knowledge, swatak siragyana, what is the use of your education? In other words, the Brahman is seeing in one way, and Jagannath Mishra is seeing another way. Jagannath Mishra is seeing through the eyes of love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. He can't see. What are you talking about? Daiva Siddha. He's a mystic. He's a Siddha. He has Swatantra Gyan, independent knowledge. He's my boy. That's like Narada Muni. Just as this Brahman is coming to Jagannath Mishra, also Narada Muni, or rather other Munis, they would meet with Nanda Baba, and they say, don't you know who your son is? That he is, actually he's Narayan walking on this earth. He said, what are you talking about, Narayan? Rather it was Uddhav. When Uddhav came to Vrindavan and carrying a message for the gopis, he also met with Nanda and Yashoda. He was trying to console Nanda by saying, your son is the Paramatma, he's a Parameshwar, he's Ishwara Paramakrishna. And then Nanda Maharaji turned to Yashoda and said, this Uddhava, he's a young boy. He's cracked. He really doesn't know what he's talking about. He's saying, do you hear what he's saying? And she says, I can't hear what he's saying. I can't. But she's only crying. But Nanda Maharaj was a little bit more intact emotionally. And he was trying to deal with this boy, this upstart named Uddhav, who is personally tutored and scholared or taught by Brihaspati. And he's saying, you don't understand. You say he's the Paramatma, he's the Supreme Lord Narayan. But do you realize when he was here, and when the rainy season would come over Braj, and the clouds would rumble, and the lightning would roar, he would run and jump in the bed with us and start shivering. Daddy, daddy, oh please, oh Pita, Pita, protect me. He'd be shivering in fright, the thunder and lightning. And you're saying that he's the Supreme Brahman, that he's walking this earth, but he's the Supreme Brahman. But how come sometimes he's walking in the hallway and he pees on the floor? I know, he passes urine on the floor. What is this? And you say he's Bhagavan. Really, Uddhav, and he says to Mother Yashoda, I think he doesn't really know very much, you know. He's a young boy. He doesn't have any gray hair. So he can't have very much wisdom. So this is Ananda Maharaj is speaking about Uddhav Mahashaya. Thakur Mahashaya. So this Brahman is saying all these high things about Nimai, and Jagannath Mishra can't hear it. Mishra kahe putra kene nahe narayan tadapi pitara dharma putra shikshan. So now Jagannath replies, he says that your son is a daiva siddha, he has swatak siddha gyan. He says, okay, listen. Even if my son is not a common man, but Narayan, still, it's the duty of a father to instruct his son. He's okay, maybe he's Narayan, but anyway, I'm still going to instruct him. Now, he was the source of all knowledge. Narayan is the source of all knowledge. It's like giving water to the ocean. The ocean is unlimited water. What water can you give to the ocean? So still, you can't move him from his immovable position of Vatsalya Bhav. Still, it's my duty. I'm his father. Yes, 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 he's Narayan. Okay. But anyway, he's my son. I'm his father. I have to instruct him. Emate dune karin dharma avichar vishuddha vatsalya mishra nahi jane ar. This is now that some of the philosophy is being mentioned by Krishna's Kaviraj, Shuddha Vatsalya. And this way, Jagannath Mishra and the Brahman discuss the principles of religion in the dream. This was a dream that Jagannath Mishra was having. This is all in a dream. Very philosophical dream. Very nice. This is how devotees dream. devotees at the level of Jagannath Mishra, or even lesser devotees. But sometimes Srila Prabhupada, once one of his servants heard Prabhupada speaking about 2 o'clock in the morning, or maybe it was earlier because he would get up earlier than that. Let's say it was about 12:30 at night, and he heard some voice, some Prabhupada speaking in his room, and he looked through the keyhole of the door, some small keyhole, and Prabhupada was sitting on his bed. He was sitting up on his bed, and he said, "You don't understand. These rascal scientists are ruining the world. They're taking everyone to hell because they're trying to deny the existence of God and replace God with their foolish creation." And Prabhupada was just very enthusiastically preaching about to some scientist or something. And his dream, he sat up and he got so involved with it. So even Prabhupada sleeping, or so-called resting, he was preaching in his sleep sometimes. Of course, so Jagannath Mishra is having this philosophical dialogue in a dream with the Brahmin. In this way, Jagannath Mishra and the Brahmin discussed the principles of religion in a dream, yet Jagannath Mishra was absorbed in unalloyed parental love and did not want to know anything else. So Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavatam saying that Krishna is worshipped with exalted hymns by the Vedas and Upanishads and by great personalities through Sankhya Yoga and the mode of goodness. But by Mother Yashoda, Nanda, he was considered to be their own little son. Similarly, Jagannath Mishra also considered Mahaprabhu his beloved little boy. Although he is worshipped with all veneration by learned Brahmins and saintly persons. So this is the Jagannath Mishra marvels at Nimai's footprints and the dream that he had of the Brahmana who was trying to instruct him that you shouldn't correct your son or teach him about morality because he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Braj, this is the feature of Braj Bhakti, that you only see Krishna as a sweet, sweet boy. There's no palaces, there's no opulence, the ground is made of cow dung and clay, and Krishna doesn't wear any shoes, and he's running behind the cows. This is the way we see the Lord. So we're continuing with, let's see, I have to stop here.